Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Grappling Rewind Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the 2018 IBJJF European Championships, Fight to Win Pro 59 in Phoenix, Arizona, actually in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we're going to talk a little bit about sumo.
Pinch.
2018 IBJJF European Championships.
Let's talk about the brackets. Let's talk about the open class first. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Keenan Cornelius being a motherfucking jiu-jitsu wizard. This dude, what he does with the gi and how he just beats everybody up is wild. I love it. It's great. He submitted everybody.
Yeah, it was great. Monoplatas, arm bars.
A goddamn wizard. I literally texted Maine and was like,
Keenan is a wizard.
Keenan is a lapel wizard.
Yeah, he is. Like, he just grabs lapels and just no one seems to have a good answer for what he's going to do. I watched a bunch of his matches this week. I watched one of his matches. I forget if it was weight class or open weight. He had his own gi wrapped around his own foot when it was on someone's back. I forget what Josh.
Oh, wow. Wow. That one I didn't catch, but it's quite interesting.
Oh, it was like a weird, like almost like a rubber guard situation. But with his hand holding his own leg, he had the other hand holding the gi. It was crazy.
Again, a goddamn wizard. The other big news coming out of the open class was Herber Santos losing in his first match. Now, can't find the damn angle. It's always just his back, but he got snatched up in a triangle and literally like 30 seconds later, not even
no,
that.
No,
like
2 seconds
Like 3
later.
Seconds later, he tapped.
Yeah, Langler caught him. And
with something, all wrist of lock, armbar.
I couldn't tell. It looks like he snatched up a
triangle
real quick. But it doesn't look like he's fully adjusted and locked it in. And Herberth just like taps or scream taps or something. And then Herberth doesn't show up to his division.
Couldn't make weight.
That's
what he said. Couldn't make weight.
But I think something else happened because he tapped so quick.
Who knows?
And Herber's a guy that'll fight for a while. He's not a guy that's going to panic tap.
Maybe he realized his beard was ridiculous looking.
That was interesting. Who dyes their beard?
Blonde?
In 2018.
He
can do whatever he wants, but it was a little odd.
Yeah, and that was another thing. That was something that came through as Langacker also beat Hanato Kanuto on his way to the semifinals, but ran into the Hulk and the Absolute closed out. This was a point of contention as well. Well, not a contention. This was just a discussion that we had that I think they should do away with it. It's getting old.
We had four divisions, I think, in the men's brackets close out.
Yeah, it was.
Your Absolute, like your most exciting division, you had a close out between teammates, and it's like, man, like it robs
make him
robs UAE everyone of good jiu-jitsu
or go
ADCC route
ACC style.
Cool.
And
you both want to do it, same side of the bracket.
Yeah,
enjoy.
I mean, if you see them on the other side, go UAE route, make them compete. It is what it is. Going on to the ultra heavy class, weird stuff happening throughout the entire tournament when it came to this. Lucas Barbosa didn't show up after winning his first match.
Yeah, he beats Rafael Gustavo Silva Samoz and then doesn't show up against Ricardo
Evangelista. Yeah, and he got DQ'd for it. So Evangelista goes right into the finals because he beat Fonseca from Neto BJJ. On the other side, you had Victor Honorio beat Amelson Gobi Jr., representing Team Lloyd Irvin, and Ottavio Nalati goes on to compete against him. In the finals, it was Honorio versus Evangelista, with Evangelista taking it. At this point of the day, the stream was so terrible.
It was really bad.
The frame rate was just awful.
At a certain point, I was getting less than one frame per second. I have a video on my phone that basically looks like you've taken a slideshow and just like had it auto-advance every second or second and a half. The commentary's there, but the footage is unwatchable.
At that point, they've been uploading the finals matches from different map views, and we're going to go back in and watch them again. But they dropped the ball on that one after 5 days of
the stream's been fine for days.
Flawless streaming. They just
at the black belt finals matches
take a dump, and not even all the finals matches. It was literally midway through lightweight and past that.
So all the big boys that you really wanted to see match up.
You never know. I mean, Kenan's heavyweight, so
how about that?
We missed out on that one because it was all glitchy and posted about it on Reddit. And Kenan was like, "Don't worry, you didn't miss anything. It was pretty much the entire match was the scene that was frozen on your computer." But he was lying. That match was fire. That was awesome. So that was ultra heavyweight.
Moving on to the super heavyweight. This is the division that Herbworth was in, and he had a bye, but then doesn't show up because he was not going to make weight in his semifinals bracket or his semifinal matchup. So, Ari, what's his name, Josh?
Esfamadas.
Esfamadas gets a pass right into the semis.
And on the other side,
into the finals.
Yeah, into the finals. On the other side, Elliot Kelly came up into the semis against Manuel Ambrosio and took an L, and Ambrosio goes on to beat Aria to take the championship.
On to the black belt heavyweights.
Kenan goddamn Cornelius.
That's one way to put it, Josh.
This fucking guy.
And he looks good this year. 2018 is going to be another year where he just stomps through guys.
I just really want, we've talked about it before, I really want Flo to just put their damn names in the box.
Yeah, he was listed as
K-Kai or K-Kai.
He wasn't even Kai James. He was just K-K-James. Or sorry, K-Kai.
Yeah.
It was just like, what are you?
Is it King Kai from Dragon Ball Z?
Kenan King Kai Jones Canes.
James.
I said Canes. They messed it up anyway. Add more K in there.
King Kai.
He was already KK.
We'll call him King Kai. There we go. It was fucking summoned a spirit bomb.
Yeah. He was like, this bracket had him and Wardzinski, a matchup I was very excited about last week. And then I watched this week and kind of went, oh, yeah, that's
just how that could have gone. Kenan's body type is just amazing for jiu-jitsu. He's so long. It's crazy. The way he passed Wardzinski's guard was just, I was like, how?
Yeah, Wardzinski pulled first. And then Kenan kind of just went, got super open. And went, I'm just going to pass. And
No. Kenan was on the bottom first, and then he came up. And then he passed.
Wardzinski pulled first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Wardzinski could not fire off anything from his guard, and Kenan was like, all right, whatever.
That's right.
And just fucking walked around his guard while holding his legs, and then transitioned into an armbar.
And Wardzinski's really good, too, which was the crazy thing. Like, that match was about 2.5 minutes. I think Kenan gets
three and some change.
Kenan gets an armbar. The whole match footage is 3:30.
Yeah, so
and they walk down, whatever. Shook and lift. It's about a 2.5 minute match. He armbars him in like 2.5 minutes, and Wardzinski's pretty good.
Yeah, like Joe Rogan said, there are levels to this game, and he is on a different level.
It's crazy.
So on the other side, I called personally a Jackson Souza versus Kenan Cornelius finals. Jackson Souza took the L from Helton Mendez. I mean, it's got like 75 different names.
He has five names. Helton, yeah. Jose Mendez de Silva, and then there's a J with
it keeps
some dots.
Going. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, Christ. And I had it in my head and it just went away. From Unity. Who's
Meow.
No.
Paulo.
No, you son of a
Bones.
Bitch. No, I...
Santos. I've gone through everyone I know at Unity.
No.
Rilla Santana?
That's the one. Yeah. You heard his deep-ass voice coaching Helton.
Josh loves his voice.
Dude, it's...
You'll bring it up whenever you get a chance.
Spectacular. It's just like... Yes, go for it. I'm like, God damn, your voice is awesome.
Go for the arm.
No, you just hear him like...
Take the arm.
Calmly talking in Portuguese. He's like, yeah. Isso. And I'm like, God, I wish my voice was that deep. But that didn't help. He did stop Kenan's passing a lot. He slowed down Kenan. Keenan's
Keenan Mendes.
Yes, there you go.
He slowed down Keenan a bit.
He slowed down his guard work a little bit, but Keenan just kept pushing and punching at it and ended up on the back and just snatched up a collar choke and just, again, a fucking jiu-jitsu wizard. It was awesome.
This is one to go back and rewatch.
So, yeah, technically he double gold because he took the
he closed out with Barboza in the absolute.
But they gave him the medal. So that's a double gold right there.
So he gets that's a 5x multiplier event, Josh. He's racking up those points.
I don't think it works as a 5x thing. I don't think it's a combo builder. I think it just factors in all sorts of other things. But still, yeah, he gets a lot of points for that towards that number one ranking. So again, he was shooting for it. So let's see.
I can see him getting that this year.
Possibility if he just competes a whole lot.
Moving on to the medium heavyweights.
More people didn't fucking show up. How about that? How about this? If you go to the one side of the bracket, and we talked about him, Viking Wong, first match, his guy doesn't show up, right? So he goes into a match with Leandro Lowe. Oh, you don't have to compete against anybody. You're fresh. You're ready to rock and roll. Guess who else doesn't show up? Leandro fucking Lowe. Just didn't come.
So you've went from having not a bye to not having to compete into the semifinals.
You automatically, even if you lose, you get third place.
And he did.
You get third place even if you lose.
He takes the L to Horlandio de Jesus Montanero.
God, I hate you when you talk and it fucks me up. Orlando Montero. God. Jumping over to the other side for more no-shows.
Orlando Montero beats Charles Negromonte on his side of the bracket before.
He did.
And I think he just outpointed him, if I recall correctly.
He did. Jose Henrique Cardoso, no-showed. So Luca Anacoreta, right into the quarters. But he ran into the other Cardoso, Renato Cardoso. And aren't they on the same team? No, they're not. They're just the same name. I'm an idiot.
Josh has like 8 to 15 names in Portuguese. Silva.
Whatever.
And the other 8.
He just said 15. So Cardoso beats Anacoreta, goes on, takes out Patrick Pontes. I'm sorry. I can't keep my composure. Maine is over here hiding, trying not to chew on fucking microphone while he's eating Taco Bell nachos. He's over here about to shit his pants, and he's hiding the fact that he's chewing on this shit.
This episode brought to you by Taco Bell. Nightmarish diarrhea.
God, this is going to have one download, and it's going to be on my phone. Oh, God. Anyway, Orlando Montero takes the medium heavy bracket.
He beats Cardoso in the finals.
I'd be super interested to wonder why, to find out why Lowe just didn't show up.
He had 3 dropouts in this bracket. I mean, it's a pretty large bracket, but still, that really changes. I mean, my predictions, to say the least. We both thought Lowe would take this.
Oh yeah, it was a given.
Yeah, I think our predictions are not doing so hot this episode, Josh.
No, I was thinking about what we called, and I was like, we just called that completely wrong.
Oh yeah,
just wrong.
As wrong as we can get. Especially when guys we have winning don't show up. It's like, well.
Yeah. Like, Herbert Santos didn't show up.
Lowe didn't show up. It's like, okay, well, two guys we thought were going to take their divisions.
I thought it was going to be in the absolute.
Yeah. We had some bad predictions, Josh.
Way.
Moving on to the middleweights.
This one we predicted way. No, I think we actually might have nailed this one.
Josh, see, because I'm not going to look back at the old episode, we definitely nailed this one.
We nailed this one. I think we called this one down to the fucking
Josh,
finals.
I called it exactly.
Yeah.
If you don't look at our episode from last week.
Yes, we did. Because we called that Isaki Benace. Which
is not Benahis.
That's what the motherfucker said on the commentary. And I'll go with that until somebody's like, no, you were right the first time. Or I wasn't. It doesn't matter. He zipped on through. He beat Jaime Canuto in the semifinals. Jaime Canuto had a bye. He beat Jan Cabral. In the quarters, man, we are fucking this up. This Taco Bell main shitting out. I can't speak. I haven't even had coffee since this morning. So
this is a normal episode, Josh.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, a good division. Isaki Benahis, what do you say his name?
Benes? I don't know.
Isaki Benes gets it done versus Marcos
Actually, that was a closeout because they are on the same team.
Oh, they're both Alliance, aren't
Marcos
they?
Tinoco is Marcelo Garcia is there, but they're the same people. They closed out. Pretty cool.
Canuto takes third.
Yep.
Moving on to the lightweights.
Motherfucking dark horses coming in here. You know,
we did not call this one.
No. No, we did call one of the finalists, but not the other one. So Michael Lange did what Michael Lange does and made it to the finals. Just, you know, beating fools.
Yep.
Oh, look. Ilkay Balut. Did he not show up? Click on the little thing. That is it no show? No showed. How about that?
Yep.
How fucking about that? There they are. People just not showing up. Jake.
More than usual, too. Yeah. It's a little odd. Like, usually you see one or two no-shows at the black belts, but we've seen, like, five.
Yeah.
It's weird. This is a little uncommon. Again, it's a much larger tournament. It's the second biggest of the year, but there's a lot of guys that are not showing up, which is just kind of weird.
So Jake McKenzie did not make it as far as I thought he was going to. He made it to the corners and lost to Hugo Marquez, who lost to Michael Lange. On the other side, Edwin Najmi does what he does. Made it all the way to the semis.
Then he runs into Masahiro Iwasaki.
Iwasaki. So this guy just comes out of nowhere, you know.
He's from Carpe Diem, which is the same gym that, what's the guy's name, Josh?
Oh, blanking.
The guy that went to the finals with Kaio and was on ACBJJ a couple weeks ago. That guy. He's at that gym. That's Carpe Diem.
Yeah. So, first, in the quarters, he takes out Hanato Canuto. What just happened?
I did not predict.
What's coming on? Okay, well, then you're thinking, all right, well, it's not going to be a big deal. They're going to run into Najmi, and Najmi's going to do what Najmi does, flying triangle, some wild shit like that. Wrong. Beat Najmi 2-0.
Yeah, this was a match, if you're going to rewatch a match, this was one of my favorite matches of the event. This was a nice back and forth. You saw Masahiro getting some stuff going, and it was fun to watch. Good back and forth, and fantastic match.
Indeed. So this is where the stream started fucking up.
To put it nicely.
Not putting that shit nicely. That shit was fucked up. You know, Lange got a penalty really early for not making contact and pulling guard, and then he got an ad for near sweep.
Yeah.
And then it was just a lot of Masahiro trying to pass. And it didn't happen. And Michael Lange takes it. But Masahiro, if he keeps plugging away and we see him at Worlds, that'll be an interesting guy in there to try to take people out.
Yeah, because I wasn't that familiar with him before this event. But his showing this time shows me, again, you can compete with those high-level guys. It looked good.
Indeed. Moving on to the featherweights. We called this one too. We called this one. Exactly how it was going to go.
Yeah, we did actually.
I know. That's why I'm saying we called it. Isaac Dodderlin did what he does and beat everybody until he ran into Marcio Andre. You know, he went through Kevin Maheka, Gabriel Oliveira, and again ran into Marcio Andre. Marcio Andre had a bye and then beat John Thomas. Grippo came through. Grippo beat Gonzalez and Brian Maheka to then run into Isaki Paiva. Or no, did I think Paiva was going in? Maybe I did.
You talked about both outcomes, but I think... I should remember, Josh.
Either way, Grippo goes into the finals. This was very interesting. It was back and forth. Grippo was really working. At one point, it was tied up, and then Marcio came up 4-2 and got an ad. And, man, he just was like a fucking statue. He couldn't be moved. Grippo was just trying to get underneath of him. He almost did, but just couldn't get there. Finally, he ends up in, you know, the closed guard with, I don't know, 10 seconds left, and he looked over and he was like, nothing's going on, and just sort of hung out.
Yeah, he kind of just waited at the time.
You know, but he hung in there. You know, he's just got to tweak something or another, and we'll see something out of it. By the way, his name is Gianni Paul. according to or G. Paul, according to Flow Grappling.
Yeah, G. Paul. I was like, well, I assume that's Grippo.
But they got Marcio Andre, but G. Paul was the other one.
At least don't abbreviate the first name. Like, don't give me... It's just... I hate how they do that.
There was another one. What was it? Like, D. Ma and, like...
There was... It was a finals or a semifinals match going on, and between the two competitors, there were six letters on the screen.
Yeah.
It was D. It was M. D. A., and it was S.DE or something.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
And it was just like, okay, I have absolutely no idea who these gentlemen are until I look at the brackets and go, okay, it's these guys.
It's this person. It's Muda and
Humsa. It just doesn't help. Like, I can't, or at least give me like red and blue or gi, or like give me some identifier that shows me who it is. So if I switch to the one of the 10 match you have going on and I come in 10 seconds in, I can figure out who's who.
Well, if you followed their thinking, the blue guy normally on top is the white or the green. Yeah, the green armband?
Yeah,
or the
red green.
Armband. And then the other person in the red is the red armband. So it differentiates. But
white. But if I can't see them and I'm coming into the match 13 seconds in and they're on the ground and I can't see who has which wristband, I see a set of names and a set of guys and I can't figure out who they are.
Yeah.
Makes for a great viewing experience.
Exactly.
So that was this division. Moving on to the light featherweight division. This was a much smaller division, especially with
Hideyuki Yamada
not showing up.
So Rene Lopez got the bye into a match with Joao Miao.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, and on the other side, Hyago George gets his bye, takes it out, and we get a closeout, which they didn't do the week prior at the UAE match.
Because the UAE doesn't let you do that.
Yep, and he got toe-holded.
Yep, so Yao gives it to George in this one because he beat him by toe-hold last week, I think.
It's stupid either way. It's like, here, you know, this guy, we win. It's like, well, technically, somebody's in second place.
They both won one match.
You can't get mad at the size of the bracket.
I'm not getting mad at it, but I'm saying, like, you had a potential for two matches. Okay.
He doesn't give a shit. That dude competes. Both of them compete all the goddamn time.
They do compete all
the
time.
So they're like, whatever. This is just another match. We're not going to compete against each other because it'll look fucking fake. So that was the end of Light Feather. That was a quick one.
Yeah, moving on to the Roosterweight division.
The Roosterweight.
So this division, we had one guy not show up, but he's overweight at least. So
no, he showed up. He weighed in. He was just too fat for the division.
I mean, that's one way to put it, Josh. What's rooster weight?
125? 27 like in the
24 or 27.
I don't know. I'm never be that tiny.
Small gentleman.
Yep. So it's another closeout.
Can we just admit the only reason it's a closeout is because Kai Otara didn't show up? He showed up in Masters, not in this division.
Potentially, yeah. You never know. There could have been an upset.
There's a lot of them, this one.
don't, you know. There was a lot of buys in this. Everybody except for the people in the top left and top right corner got buys into the quarters.
Which is a little weird that you wouldn't put some of those together.
It's the way they bracketed it out.
I get it, but I always think that when you bracket it out, if you ever have more than two people with a buy, you put those people together.
They don't want to fucking do that. But look, you made the they two, have a system.
You made the top guys do it.
They have a god. They had to fight in. Too bad. So make so the other sad. Guys
fight in. Like, you have an equal number of people.
But then it fucks up the bracket, and you have to make a different size bracket.
Then make a different size bracket. You're the IBJJF.
Then you've got somebody, if you combine those, somebody that gets an automatic buy into the semis.
Cool. You give them an automatic buy in the quarters anyway.
Well, like, that buy
means nothing. They compete right there. It means nothing. Don't give them a buy. Just put the bracket like that.
Well, no, because it's still, it's the way it's built up that way. You can't.
Yeah, in hindsight, I'm actually less mad at this. I realize I'm kind of just reading it wrong and kind of dumb. My bad, Josh. Because
you would get buys directly into the semifinals because you would have Koji Shibamoto versus Pedro Clementino.
I understand now. Yep.
Hyaga Souza would go right to the semis.
You're right. I agree.
Which he did anyway because he had a bye, and then his opponent was overweight, and then he competed in the semis.
And then he beat
Koji Shibamoto from Triforce.
Yep.
Vincent Wen beat Nobuhiro Sawada, also from Triforce, to go against Clayto Suarez. I'm going with that name because looks like De Resende Jr., maybe? I don't know. I
think so.
Anyway, so there, close out. Thiago George takes it over Clayto.
So moving on to the women, that concludes the men. We went through all the men's brackets. Now we're on to the women's open class. This is a bigger bracket. I mean,
yeah, well, you had to have 12 women. Of course, it's going to be bigger bracket.
I'm used to seeing like one and two women brackets.
This is a larger tournament.
It is.
It's just every single person in the absolute was, I think, every single female from every division, just about.
I think you're pretty much correct. Yeah, there's a, I think there's one or two names that are missing, but pretty much everyone's in there.
Yeah. So Karina Santi beat Libia Gonçalves to meet up with Tayani Porfirio in the quarters. Karina was going fucking ham against Tayani. She was like, I'm not having this. Like, I'm going to go in and try to beat her. At one point, she got behind her when she was trying to do a takedown and dove over top of her to try to take her back. And that was a huge, huge mistake.
Tayani is much bigger than everyone in this bracket.
But still.
Substantially bigger.
But still, like, she can be beaten. Anybody can be beaten. Gabby Garcia got beaten. Whatever. So she made that mistake and paid for it. On the other side, Jessica Flowers beat Heather Rafferty and Venla Lukonen, who was the other super heavyweight competitor from the brackets. She ran into Tayani Porfirio and lost. Samantha Cook beat Maria Santos and met Bia Mesquita in the quarterfinals. Bia took it. Took it.
I think Bia finished her.
I believe so. These are all early morning.
And he started at 5 a.m.
It started.
It's been
early.
A lot of jiu-jitsu, a lot.
Yeah,
early
just
in the
trying
morning.
To recall. And sometimes I'm pretty sure people are like, why the fuck are you recapping this if you don't give me exact information? But whatever. Shit happens, okay? Our Grappling Rewind favorite, Talita Alencar, loses in the first round to Bianca Basilio.
Again, I'm going to rewatch that. I missed that.
Yeah. She ran into Claudia Onofre from De La Hiva, and she lost too. Man, people are going in. Anyway, Claudia from De La Hiva ran into Bia Mesquita, and Bia Mesquita, boom. That's right. Boom. In the finals with Tayani Porfirio. Tayani takes it.
Yeah, like, Tayani, again, just a much bigger competitor, and uses that size well and gets around and, you know, wins. I think she wins on points.
But Bia is a super game competitor. It's just sometimes it's a little too much to overcome. Female, super heavyweight, Venla Lukonen, Tayani Porfirio.
That's the entire bracket.
That's the bracket. Tayani takes it. First place. That's all.
On to the heavyweights. Another division of two.
Karina Curvelo versus Jessica Flowers. This is really interesting. Jessica, black belt, but this is my opinion. She made several crucial mistakes that lost her this match. She was immediately going for the finish instead of securing a position.
A couple times.
And would get ads, but not get the points. She would come up off of a sweep to try to, you know, get the points back and then immediately attack the back and then would get turned around into guard. You didn't establish anything, so you don't get any points.
Yeah, I thought it was an exciting back and forth match, but there was a bunch of places in this match where you watched Jessica Flowers, like, obviously have a skill advantage, but just not settle and not get points and not be able to finish. So if you're only going for the finish and you never get enough points, she lost.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to watch from a gamesmanship perspective because she looked like she had the better jiu-jitsu, but just wasn't.
She just knew when to fire things off and when to just go. The thing that creeped me out about Karina is she had like two mouthpieces in. I was like, what's going on? And then she took them out and I saw she had braces. I was like, oh, okay. I would wear two mouthpieces too if I didn't want my entire inside of my mouth completely destroyed. It kind of scared me for a second because I was like, what's wrong with her teeth?
So Karina takes that.
Yeah.
Keeping the trend going at medium heavy, another bracket of two.
Claudia Onofre, Samantha Cook. Again, there were just some small little errors that Sam Cooke could have changed that would have changed the outcome of the match.
And she won UAE last week, so we know she can do it. But again, yeah, again, same thing kind of as the last match. Just weird little errors that you wouldn't expect at the black belt level.
I think it was just like eagerness to get to a position or maybe even finish. I don't know. But Claudia was also game. Very good De La Hiva guard from De La Hiva Jiu-Jitsu.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Very good De La Hiva guard. Good guard work, you know. And she comes out on top.
Onto the middleweights. First bracket that's not two people. We had four in this division.
Ooh. Danielle Alvarez takes out Hanata Morea to go into the finals. And Raquel Canuto takes out Maria Vieira Santos to go into the finals.
So in the finals, we had Danielle Alvarez versus Raquel Canuto. And Danielle Alvarez gets it done. Wins.
And Raquel, we've been seeing a lot on the scene.
Super fights with ACBJJ. Super fight with, I think it EBI or Kasai. In Kasai.
Kasai.
Yeah, we saw her in Kasai.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So we've been seeing her a lot, too. And again, that finished up the middleweight bracket.
On to the lightweights.
Bea Mesquita takes out Charlotte Baumgartner to go to the finals. And Erin Hurl makes it to a final in her debut at Black Belt and runs into Bea Mesquita.
Not someone you really want to run into in your debut.
No, no.
Bea Mesquita wins.
First place. No, Bea Mesquita is Gracie
right,
Humata.
Right, she's Gracie Humata.
Erin is Alliance.
I inverted that. On to the featherweights for the women.
Amanda Nogueira takes out Heather Rafferty by not showing up or being overweight. Which one was it?
Let's check, Josh. It was
overweight. Overweight. So she goes right into the semis where she takes on Emile Maxine Thielen. I'm going to go with Thielen. She had a bye into the semis as well. Amanda took her out. Bianca Basilio comes in with the bye. Takes on Amelia Tukenin, who also had a bye. Basilio takes
her
it.
Her name has two U's next to two K's in it.
God. Is the Taco Bell made you more, like, retarded?
It might have, Josh. I don't know. This messed up. I think we called this. I thought it was going to be Heather Rafferty versus Bianca Basilio. And I was wrong.
Nope. Wrong. And Amanda Montero takes it.
On to light featherweight, another bracket that I got wrong.
We fucking blew our minds. Talita Alencar bounced. First round, Vanessa English took it. The one we did predict correctly, Livia Gluchowska goes on to the finals to take on Vanessa English, where Vanessa English reigns supreme at the Europeans.
Getting it done for Gracie Bada.
Baja.
And last but not least, the rooster weights for the women.
Rounding it out, Serena Gabrielli versus Oti Tamaleto.
Another division of two women.
Yep, and Serena took it.
For flow.
Taked it. She's number one.
Moving on to Fight to Win Pro 59 in Phoenix, Arizona. Actually, technically in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Scottsdale.
But it's right outside Phoenix. Paid out $39,995. Josh's OCD is going to kick in right here.
Man, you could have sold like a hot dog and got that five extra dollars or something.
Big payout, though. Like, this is one of the highest payouts I've seen.
I'm hoping that they sold it out.
I think, yeah, $40,000 paid out in commissions and salaries.
So there you go. Let's keep this trend going. So, starting off the night was Sal Flores.
Why are you reading like that?
Because. Why can't I? I'm sorry, I'm looking at a screen. My glasses aren't on. I have reading glasses.
I think after like
Fuck
this
you.
Many episodes, you would bring the glasses.
You'd think that, but I guess I didn't.
Yeah, Sal Flores defeats.
And my notes are different from the order in which they have it listed. So there's another reason. Fuck you, you judgmental piece of shit.
Not wrong, Josh. Not wrong.
So I had to zip through my notes really quick to find where I was. Anyway, Sal Flores beat Mike Berlaca by lapel choke. That was a good one. He went in real quick with the single. He worked towards the back really quick and immediately started choking. Like super tight, super tight lapel choke from the back. Not a whole lot of control, but he finished that John real well. Going to the next match would be Scott Bowler versus Anthony Torres. It was good back and forth. Bowler got a takedown about 4 minutes in. He went into a super sketchy over-under pass where I was like, ooh, you might get caught right there.
You might get got.
But he didn't. What was cool that Torres did was he grabbed this body lock. Like the way he grabbed the body lock, he sort of muscled it over and got back to half guard. Bowler keeps pushing forward and gets to the back. Torres ended up with a cut. They didn't really deal with it until the end. Torres got out, but Bowler ended up on top. And then he just goes for the feet, and time ran out. It was good match. Bowler was dominating positionally, and it was a very good match. The next one was interesting because they talked about this a lot. It was about Parker Lapp versus Bo Tribble. Parker Lapp is 63 years old, and they're like, this dude just competes all the time. What the fuck is going on? So Flo just decided to start buffering one of the fucked up videos that didn't work, and it started playing. I don't know if it picked up on the microphones or not, but it startled the shit out of us. Anyway, Parker Lapp, he's 63 years old. He did good old fucking him. I think
that's the oldest guy the Fight to Win has ever had on.
If it is, I don't know. That'd be pretty cool. But
I mean, you're red belt age at that point.
Anyway, main talking about people being old enough for certain things, whatever. Bo goes for a Kimura and literally just fucking man lifts him, just yanks him up and was like, here we go, and tries to go for the back, throws in a hook, but just sort of hangs out. Lap grabbed a whack toe hold. That's the best way to explain it. It was a whack toe hold.
The commentator kept talking about it was good.
It was not. That shit was whack. Whack as fuck. You know, if somebody got tapped like that, that's all I have to say about that. That shit was whack. Commentary, by the way, mediocre. Not terrible. Well, not great.
I'll talk about it a little later. There was a couple points. I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah. Bo went back to the back, stepped over for an armbar, and snatched it up. So it was a cool match. It was cool seeing
seeing a guy, he's still competing. Like at that age, that, like,
you know,
get it done.
He's like,
doing it.
Fuck this. I don't give a shit. It's like somewhere that's up there in age where you don't expect them to be competing in a contact sport.
In a super fight.
Yeah, that was awesome. This next match was also pretty cool. Van Buren versus Hevahedo. I'm going to call him Rev for right now because saying Hevahedo the whole time is
going to... Yeah, I'm not going to say Hevahedo the whole time. Oh my gosh.
Screw me up. He came out the Sandstorm. That got me stoked for that match.
Like right old school Vandalay and Pride?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that song still.
Yeah, that one. Van Buren did not pull guard to start out this match very well, but inverted almost got an armbar off of it, which maybe he pulled guard better than I thought he did. And he's just he continually attacked. Inversions, going back and forth. You know, Rev goes around and starts looking at the feet, steps around, looks to pass. Van Buren briefly came up off of a sweep and then got knocked back down.
There's no point, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't really matter, but he was definitely super aggressive with his guard and his sweep attempts the entire time. So he ends up in combat base up top. Rev comes with a cross collar grip and goes for a sort of like a half guard sickle sweep, which knocked Van Buren back, but he came right back up.
Real quick, like he goes over for a second and kind of just scrambles back onto his feet.
Yeah, it was just like tapped his ass and it popped up. So, you know, as he's falling back, comes back up, he goes, fuck it, and just launches an armbar. Missed it, went for the back, and then gets an armbar. And mind you, I'm taking notes and watching this like, holy shit.
Yeah, this was a good match. There was some action in this match. Again, one of them, once the match is up, go rewatch this match because it's one of the more fun matches of the weekend.
Absolutely. Hevejedo, Hitchhiker, escaped out of it. Van Buren attacked the omoplata, went for the legs, lost it, stayed on the bottom, went for an ankle lock. He swept from inverted and looked to pass. Eventually, while on top, he just fell for the feet with about 20 seconds left trying to finish it. He took that. That got fight of the night, and totally fucking agree with that.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Definitely deserved it.
100%. Next match, Barnes versus McGregor.
Not McGregor?
Yeah, McGregor. Not Conor McGregor. Michael McGregor takes on David Barnes. Oh, yeah. I almost was like, oh, I'm looking at the wrong name. Barnes pulled, and Mac immediately, and I'm going to shorten that to Mac. I'm not going to say McGregor every time. I'm going to call him Mac.
McGregor?
Yes, Mac McGregor. Looked for double unders and stacks. He missed the back and just immediately goes for the triangle with Barnes coming on top. Mac hits this beautiful like double unders fallback sweep, and it just looked super effortless. And as he was going that, the arm was underneath, and he started spamming an Ezekiel choke. And that match was maybe, I don't know, 3 minutes, but
it was quick.
Nailed it. He nailed it.
Gets the sub, gets the tap.
It was awesome. Thomas Keenan versus Daniel Mercar. This one was a little aggressive. Keenan came out with guard pull, and Mercar started, you know, knee slicing through. Keenan comes up. Thomas Keenan, not Keenan Cornelius, not the Gi Wizard. The other thing was like Mercar was attacking the legs, and Thomas just didn't give a shit and tries to end up top. At one point, commentary just stopped to make jokes about Mercar's ass hanging out. It's like, yeah, it happens.
Was a little weird.
Get over it. Get over it. Okay. Like, yeah, okay. Sometimes you see a little bit of butt crack. You don't have to point it out every single time. Anyway, you know, Mercar goes for an ankle lock, and Thomas used that to come up and take the back. And at first I thought he was going to finish with the twister, and then he just transitioned to this bow and arrow choke and got the tap, and it looked like he held it a little long, but...
Yeah, that was a little weird. He seemed to, like, kind of get the tap and not let go, and then, was it Mercar? Kind of freaked out for a second.
Bit. Just a second, though. So, whatever. That was also exciting and a must-watch match. Going on to next match, Paul Nava versus Mario Gaxiola.
Yeah, we see Paul Nava a lot in Fight to Win.
Yep, and I'm going to call Gaxiola Gax from now on, for right now, because I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name wrong. So... Gax started out low and heavy on a cross collar grip, like way low on it, and he had low posture, and he was just down. Nava went for the leg trip, but it was mediocre at best.
It wasn't a great trip.
A lot of grip fighting. Nava ends up, he pulls guard and goes for a flower sweep, and Nava just sort of slowed it down and wasn't really having it. Oh, excuse me. He kept looking to pass Nava, and he stuck in De La Hiva guard. Nava ended up hitting an open guard sweep, and he got lazy and dangled the arm, and Nava snatched that bad boy up and won by armbar. So again, these things are we're moving on, flying. We're getting a lot of submissions. And
then the end of the card happens.
So now this is at the point now where I'm starting to get sleepy, and which will lead into something a little bit later. Josh Rodriguez versus William Woke. So Rodriguez was real quick to pull, and it looked like he was going for a worm guard. He swept and gets on top.
First 15 or 30 seconds of this match are really fun to watch for me. And then it got a little footsie.
Yeah, Woke started going for the feet. Rod uses that to go for the back. They end up in 50-50. And then it's just a weird toehold and a lot of back and forth fighting the feet. And
a lot of this match was just outended. Like, they went for a couple ankle locks, but they go for the outside ankle lock with no control of the knee line. And that was like a repeated thing you'd see over and over, where it's like you're not going to get that ankle lock, like, especially like at that level on these kind of guys that you're competing on in a super fight. Like, you're not going to get an uncontrolled outside ankle lock with no knee control. So there was a lot of that in this match. It was a little odd.
Yeah. So Sean Downey versus Diogo Fajeda. So
yeah, and that's his name. It's not Diego. It's Diogo.
Yeah. So, you know, you get a little slap and a tickle to start the match. Fajeda pulls guard and goes to half, working the reverse De La Riva as Downey tries to pass. Fajeda uses that like sort of half spider kind of thing from foot on arm to sweep over, but they're really quick to get back on the feet. Fajeda pulls again and goes to spider control and over to 50-50. Uses that to sweep.
Fajeda. At this point, the commentary, I think, was getting a little tired as well, because at certain points, there would be a whole positional series and a change. They'd stand up and go back down, and the commentary wouldn't say anything about it.
Oh, yeah. There were long pauses. I was
like minutes. So they'd say a couple sentences a minute sometimes, and it got even slower the next couple matches.
Yeah, it got really weird.
Yeah, at one point, one of the commentators basically says, "What do you make of that?" And the other commentator just says, "Yeah."
Yeah,
and they stopped talking, and it seemed like there was a chemistry thing, or there was some reason why both of the commentators
just weren't talking,
and this continued for the rest of the night. But at this point, I had noticed it, where they just stopped talking, and it was weird, because you'd hear like the audience, and you'd hear like the secondary mics, but no commentary. And Josh kind of texted me during this, because we were watching at the same place, and he goes, "Is there no commentary?" And I was like, "No, they're just not talking."
Yeah, that it was super awkward. And then they would come back and make a Sean Downey is a redhead, and they were like, "Ginger." I'm like, "Oh, great, make ginger jokes." That's adding to this matchup right here.
They also didn't know what the bar on the belt meant. They didn't know what a white bar on the competition belt meant.
Some people just don't know that.
I figure if you're a professional commentator for
jiu-jitsu, they might not be professional commentators.
I figure if you're commentating Fight to Win Pro, you would like...
I don't know.
I think they only use black belts for Fight to Win Pro as commentators. I don't think they get like jack-offs like me to do commentary.
More than likely, no.
This commentary was a little weird at the end. They would talk and talk, and then they would just kind of trail off mid-sentence and wouldn't finish the thought they were talking about.
Oh, you mean like us?
Yeah, Josh, we want a podcast. Everyone expects that.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, Fajeda ends up on top. At one point, he almost gets through. And in my notes, I wrote, "The dreidel spin saves Downey." Because I'm an idiot and I amuse myself while taking my own notes. So it was back to neutral. Fajeda looked for, you know, they go back down. Fajeda looking for omoplata sweep. Commentary starts, you know, just going for Downey, just talking about him and just rambling on about him. Not anything of what he's doing, just talking about the competitor. Downey picked up the pace as the match was getting into the later minutes and pushes Fajeda down towards the edge, restarts. Downey pulled. Fajeda looked to pass finally, and Downey just went completely insane on a leg, and they gave him the win. At this point, this is the co-main event. There we
co-main
go.
Event, co- not semi-main event.
I have all the names written down so I can start writing notes. And the Curran versus, how did you hear how they said his name? Because I kept missing it.
I heard how they said it, Josh. I cannot reproduce it.
Okay, I'm not, yeah.
Gerson.
So, yeah, Gerson versus Jeff Curran. And I called him Ant, so I'm going to keep calling him Ant. And the first thing I noticed was he hit a sick ankle pick. He was going in heavy pressure. Curran, you know, in half with a butterfly hook, looked to sweep. Almost came up and lost it. Ant smashes. And that's where my notes end, because I fell asleep.
Nothing about the competitors. Josh was texting me the entire night, like, "Hey, I'm really tired. I hope your notes are good because I'm really tired." So at this point, I pick it up with the notes, and they're mostly commentary notes on what the commentators are saying, because I'm fascinated with how much the commentators at this point have stopped speaking. There is literally a section from like 5:40 to there's basically a 2 minute section where the only thing the commentators say is there's 5 minutes left in the match. That's it. So Gerson gets the decision over Jeff Curran for this one. On to the main event. We had JT Torres versus Ben Henderson.
I lost $5.
Yeah. Josh and I took a bet last week on last week's show that it was – Josh thought it was in no-gi. I went on a limb and said it was in the gi because the promotional picture that they always use for Benson is in the gi, even though he actually competes for them usually in no-gi. And it was in the gi. At this point, Josh was asleep, though, so I didn't get the satisfaction of texting him and him responding because he was asleep.
My wife woke me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning because something – her phone buzzed and she had left it on the bed. And – or no, she was checking something and she goes, "Why do I owe Maine $5? And then she realized it was my phone and was like, "Oh." And she was like, "Here's your phone." I'm like, "It's 3 in the morning. Don't wake me up. Just put it over there." So – what I did catch of it was a highlight of it at the end. So I'll let Maine go through his notes of what he saw during the match, and then I'll talk about the end of the match.
Really, this match was just JT Torres with a higher level of jiu-jitsu, of gi jiu-jitsu. He takes him down, he passes, he moves the knee on belly, he moves the mount, he moves the kind of like a kind of the back, and he finishes.
Are we talking about fat guy mount? Technical mount?
No, it wasn't tech mount. It was like he doesn't really ever fully transition to the back out of the mount.
Oh, okay. I saw he was off at an angle when he finished him, and I was like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, he was going for like an arm triangle. He was going for like Americana over the top. He did a couple things for like positional control to get Benson to turn, but it was point A to point B, just takedown, pass, mount, near belly, mount, and then submission. I mean, it was a textbook series. It was just kind of... it was a little disappointing to watch, like...
No, it's not. Fuck you. How dare you?
I mean, it was fine. JT Torres. It was good jiu-jitsu.
This is another one. This is another guy that is going to... is on the cusp of being yet another American that wins a world championship in the gi.
No, he's really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I liked watching the match, but they keep feeding Benson, like, to jiu-jitsu guys.
He's just doing whatever. I don't even know if he's going to continue fighting, but he didn't look too great in his last two fights. You're just grappling,
but fine,
whatever.
But grappling, don't give him like Mundial's guys and like guys that are like at the top of the heap. Give him like good MMA grapplers.
No, give him fucking whoever. It was like he accepted the match.
He did, and that's fine.
What
I have
a great match to take.
I have no problem with the match. It was fine, but it was like Benson wasn't able to do anything. His level of jiu-jitsu just isn't
or,
at those gi guys' levels.
Or JT, again, there are different levels to this
but
shit.
But that's my
mate.
Point. There are different
and
levels to this shit.
Okay, but sometimes, you know, it could be an exciting fight. This motherfucker's trying to eat a nacho right now.
I'm trying bad. I want
to
that
eat
nacho.
This goddamn nacho. But JT Torres is just on that next level.
He is.
And that's what he is. And this is, again, this might be a lead up to him. I want to see him at Worlds. I want to see him take the world championship. Like, here we go. That's another American that takes it. I want to see Keenan take it. You know, this is one of the reasons why this sport isn't an Olympic sport, other than God, it would murder it and make it suck.
It'd be terrible.
Brazil would win all the medals all the time. All the time.
It's actually, and Josh isn't actually just hyperbole, it's literally one of the reasons it gets rejected as an Olympic sport, because it would be severely dominated by a single nationality, which is a criteria that you can't have in the Olympics, basically. Olympics won't allow sports that are universally dominated by a single nationality.
See, there you go. So, there that is. So, the submission percentage of this was over 50% at 53% repeating. We can say 54. We'll say 54%.
54%, Josh. 59%, Josh.
Whatever.
Math is something I never did well in college.
Anyway, so 16 of the 30 matches, over 50%, were finished. Awesome. Everybody, keep submitting people. Let's get a card. 30, 30 matches, 30 submissions.
I would love that, Josh.
Do that.
2018, here we come.
Let's do that. Let's get the 100. Let's go to the 100-0 match that I want to see and 30 submissions on a fight to win card.
Yeah.
Boom. Mark it.
No position, only footlocks. All right, Josh.
Anyway, Jesus Christ. Maine's still eating nachos and trying to have a conversation about something that's going to happen in the future. Really quick touch on the sumo. Kisen Osato, man, you are on thin ice for being a big dude. Dropped out again. I don't think he's done a full tournament except for his first one as Yokozuna. So he's,
you think he'll get retired?
They might force him to if he stays out and he doesn't enter the next one or does very poorly in the next one, he's done. But the other pullout was Hakuho, who's normally the steadfast, you know, top of the heap. He just was not looking himself and shit the bed.
Do you think he's injured or you think it's just like...
They say it was an injury, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't say 100% for sure. The one person that is shocking the shit out of me right now is Kakuryu, who is normally the guy that pulls out and has a shitty day. He's 8-0 right now. We're at the midway point of sumo.
I mean, he's having a great basho.
Impressive. He is looking impressive. But who else is looking impressive? Who else is looking impressive? Tochi Noshin. This guy is just fucking killing it at Maegashira 3. Beat Kisei no Sato. You know, he's 7-1. You know, Kakuryu is leading right now at 8-0. He is 7-1. There are a few others at 7-1. But he is just killing it. There are a lot of people that are, you know, Kaisei, the Brazilian, killing it. Endo, 5-3, again, doing very well. Shohozan, 6-2. Tochi Ozan at 6-2. Takara Fuji, Chiyoshima at 5-3. Daisho at Maegashira 13 is 7-1. All right? That's low on there. Asano Yama at Maegashira 16, 6-2. Looking good.
Guys
Abi.
Looking good. This is a tournament. Guys are looking good this
there
tournament.
Are people that are looking real good. Oh, Turin Nofuji, I think he's done in you know, the Makauchi division. I think he's going to, if he doesn't get a surgery to heal himself up, he's going to be in Juryo next basho.
Just based on his performance alone.
Yeah. Amanishiki stepped away. He was injured. But he may come back, they're saying. They're going to look at him technically, what is it? It's 8:12, so it is 8 or 9 a.m. there in Japan. So they were going to look at him in the morning and see what he was doing and see how he was doing, whether he was going to stay out or not. So that brings us to the halfway point. You know, that's the going-ons right now with that. Next week, it'll be all wrapped up, and I'll be able to give a little overview and any other news that might be coming out that day or within the coming days after it, if anything is going on. So that's our touch of sumo for today.
Yeah, sumo looks good with this basho. You know, if you're interested at all, this is a basho to watch. So that'll do it for recaps this week. On to previews.
Fight to win Pro 60 in Reno, Nevada.
We can get a hooker legally.
I don't know. I've never been to Vegas.
I don't know either, but I know that there is legal prostitution in Reno.
In Nevada?
Based on research I've done, Josh.
Oh, okay. You fucking weirdo. The main event is a 185-pound black belt gi match. Cassio Vernick versus Jeff Messina from BJJ Revolution Team. Co-main event, 170-pound black belt no gi match. Marcos Torregrossa. Look who's popping up. This guy is like Wagner Hosha.
He'd be the Wagner Hosha of 2018. We haven't talked about Wagner in like a week.
Somebody just posted a highlight of his CJJ performance. So there, we just talked about him. versus Jerry Hallert from...
I think he gets an armbar.
Well, he's calling it again. Komino Gym. That's from Komino Gym. There we go. That's the co-main event. 205-pound black belt no-gi match. Joshua Turner from Charles Gracie versus
Seth Daniels.
Fuck bitches get money as it says on his Facebook.
Yeah. Seth Daniels, Eastern BJJ, the promoter of Fight to Win Pro, the gentleman that makes all of this possible for these athletes.
Just putting it in, putting in time, putting
it's
in
his,
the mat work.
It's his first black belt match.
Is it?
It's his first match technically as a black belt. He competed as with black belts before, but it's his first match
I
since being promoted
was,
to black belt.
Oh, his first gi match is going to be against Shannon the Cannon, but this is a no gi match. Okay, there we go. 225 black belt no gi match. Kelly Knudsen from the UFC gym versus Elliot Kelly from.
I wish they would say the UFC gym like where it was, because UFC gym is a huge
in
franchise.
Reno, Nevada, or maybe near that area. From EDH BJJ, 180-pound black belt no gi match. Jack Montgomery from J-Ream Academy versus Dom Hoskins from BJJ Revolution.
Again, we've seen Dom recently.
Yes, yes, indeed. 175 black belt no-gi match. Shannon Kalos versus Komainu Jim versus Sean Cox from Yomaso.
Messed that whole thing up.
I did?
Yeah.
How?
You said versus Komainu Jim versus Sean Cox.
Oh, how about that? From Komainu Jim versus Sean Cox from Yamasa BJJ.
Moving on to a 201, 210.
Man, 201, 210.
I can't call you out and then mess it up next.
Oh,
right? 210 black belt no-gi match versus.
Oh, versus,
with
yeah.
Matt,
yeah.
Man, I don't
Talk
know why
shit.
I said anything, Josh.
Talk shit. Matt Tonkin from Charles Gracie versus Daryl Liner from Maxwell BJJ.
Liner? I don't know. We have
Liner.
A 175 no-gi match with Sean Lineberg from Dream
Holy
Academy.
Holy shit. Lineberg? How did you get Lineberg from that?
L-E-B-A-R-D.
Labard?
Maybe Labard, Josh.
And it's J-Ream, not Dream.
I said Dream. I think it's probably, honestly, it's probably pronounced Dream.
Oh, God.
J-R-E-A-M
Kids
Academy.
These days.
Versus Nicholas Green from Half Gracie.
And that's not a lot of black belt matches, but that is all of the black belt matches. We will probably pick up some brown belt matches.
Yeah, we'll probably watch the event and then
we
we'll
always
pick out the
watch
highlights.
The entire match, the entire, you know, card, but you know, we'll give you highlights from here and there. Ooh, another para jiu-jitsu match.
Nice.
But it's
down
versus
purple
to
belts,
be announced.
We have David Talent. Versus from Komachi Gym versus
Komachi.
TBA. So I'm not certain who that's going to be about. But
Komainu? That's what I'm saying. There's definitely not Komachu.
Wasn't it a kaiju? That thing from Pacific Rim?
Well, those are Japanese monsters.
All right.
There you go.
But again, looks like a good card. A lot of purple belts. A lot of up and comers. Fight to Win recently has been having a lot of return people. I mean, they had enough events where you're starting to see people amass records with Fight to Win. You know, 3-2 with Fight to Win, or 4-0 in Fight to Win.
0-2.
I mean, Josh, 0-2. You were fat. You were super fat for one. You were a super fat guy, man.
I wasn't even that heavy. I had to weigh in at 220. I weighed
Dude,
in
I saw
at 218.
I saw a picture of you a couple days ago, like for your weigh-in. You were fat as shit.
Oh, I did look fat as shit.
Dude, it was like over.
So
it was over like your shorts.
My gut was hanging over my undies.
So, like at your new weight class, you're 1-0.
No, I'm not. I'm 0-1 at that weight class too.
I'm in the other. Yeah, I mean, you had a rough go at it, Josh. You're getting shit pushed.
You're doing
a
better
bit.
When you weren't fat. No, I lost by submission. It's like, well, sorry.
My bad, Josh. But I love the fact that when you're starting to see a lot of return people, and you're starting to see. In the application form, Fight to Win really does care about your record and Fight to Win. And so there's different incentives for
you get paid more.
Having a winning record and Fight to Win. So I like that they're bringing a lot of repeat people, and they seem to be building up almost
They're rocking the West Coast hard.
They are.
Real hard.
Yeah. And they're building up a roster of people that we're starting to see the same names over and over again. We're starting to like learn guys that are not just on these major tournaments that are on these super fights. And I like that they're sort of building a super fight like system here for these grapplers that don't necessarily just want to compete in open tournaments all the time, building some names. And I'm really pleased moving in 2018 that we're seeing people over and over and over again. We're starting to see styles and like become fans of these grapplers. So
yep.
That's great. So that'll do it for this episode. It's a short one. There's not a whole lot else coming up in the near future. We have Fight to Win Pro next week, so we get a little bit of a break, But I'm sure there's going to be other, you know, smaller events.
Smaller things.
That are happening as well. Shout outs to the guys from MMA Podcast /BJJ. They added us to their RSS feed for podcasts, so thank you for that.
Ooh, we fancy.
Yeah. So, Josh, the John Donahue podcast came out with Joe Rogan.
Woof.
It was interesting.
Woof.
Socratic method all up in this bitch.
He's very knowledgeable. You can tell that. But the way he was leading on Joe Rogan to, like, answer these questions like Joe Rogan was a fucking idiot really bothered me. This isn't downplaying his skills, and the way he explained the breakdown of the Gordon Ryan versus Cyborg Abreu match was amazing, where he was like, okay, go forward. Why is he doing this? Okay, right here. Here's the position. He took it away. That was fucking amazing. How he broke that down was mind-blowing. If I could do that to jiu-jitsu, I mean, this podcast would be good if I could do that with jiu-jitsu.
Damn. You're not wrong.
You know, but for the most part, it was just a lot of his life story and how he got into jiu-jitsu, and that was really it. I was hoping more of, like, breakdown of jiu-jitsu, and he was like, this is what jiu-jitsu is, and he talked about the quote that Dean Lister quote saying, why would you ignore 50% of your body?
I'm pretty sure that Dean Lister says that on his Catch DVD.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's a pretty well-known Lister quote, and everyone's, like, just unearthed it out of nowhere, and just all these memes have popped up this week. I'm like, this is an old Dean Lister quote. Like, this is what he was saying, like, years ago when he was tapping guys with heel hooks.
Well, that's what John Donahue said. So, he just brought it up, and yeah. Now it's become a thing because it's popular now. But for the most part, it was just talking about himself, which is fine. You know, that's why the podcast was happening. But it was
hard to listen to a couple spots when Donahue was, like, leading Joe on asking, like,
all these questions, and then he was like, are you fucking retarded? Or that little meme thing that they made where he's like, well, what would you do? He's like, well, I would go for the submission. And Donahue just goes, oh, you must be one of those 10th planet black belts. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was a little.
And they laughed about it, and he was joking around, but still, like, god damn.
Yeah.
Ribbing him
there. That was a little savage. Speaking of 10th planet, the EBI 15 brackets are now out, or 15 of the 16 are out for the bracket. I think it's still going to do the qualifier that they always do for EBI. I know that Ricky Lule is out of that. He got subbed in his third match of the qualifier in the finals, so I forget actually who subbed Ricky Lule in that.
Oh, that means I have to go looking on YouTube for the
yeah, I'm not sure the qualifier is out yet, but I know that I think it's been decided. I just haven't seen the 16th name come through the bracket. So, again, from the names I've seen, it looks like a fun bracket. You got Gio, you got Eddie, you got Junie. It should be a fun bracket. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out once we actually get the bracket layout.
Indeed. Indeed. So, looking forward to that. We'll touch on that more. That's in February. So,
February is packed.
Lots of stuff in February. ACBJJ, EBI, all sorts of other smaller things. Unfortunately, I didn't compete because of family stuff the other week, but I will be competing at US Grappling at the beginning of February. So that'll be cool. I'll talk about that. Talk about how well or poorly I did. Are you doing that one?
I think I might. Josh, you smashed me today. It was good. You know that worm guard stuff.
I was trying to do worm guard stuff. That's what I get for watching, again, Gi Wizardry. And I was like, oh, maybe I can do that. And yeah. I sort of did it. And
we had an open mat today at our gym, and I had one Gi clean, and it was the red Gi, the bright red Gi that I own. And I went, well, everyone's going to try to kill me today. This is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. But, lots of training, lots more fun, me working on things that you wouldn't think a former fat guy would do. You're like, why? That guy's upside down right now. Yes, I am. So that just about wraps it up, doesn't it?
I think so.
All right. As always, you can email us at thegrapplingrewind@gmail.com. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere you can find
Facebook
podcasts. We're on Facebook, Grappling Rewind.
Instagram.
Grappling Rewind.
Twitter.
Grappling Rewind.
Reach out to us on social media. If you got something that you want us to cover, you want to clarify, we are here.
You
want to
tell us we're idiots? Hey, let us know.
You want us to pronounce your name correctly?
Let us know. Subscribe. Subscribe on the YouTube page. Leave us a review.
Helps us out a lot.
It helps us out. And, it eventually will help you out. We like to give back. We're doing this as something that isn't done. So help us help you. Again, as always, I'm Josh.
I'm Maine.
And this is the Grappling Rewind podcast.
We'll see you on the mats.